Want to shop Walmart Black Friday deals first? Walmart Plus members get early access to our hottest deals. Join now and get 50% off a one-year annual membership. Shop Black Friday deals first with Walmart Plus. See terms at walmartplus.com.
This is Amber and Ian on ESPN Radio, but no Ian again tonight. Jonathan Zaslow,
hey.
He is back. He is better than ever.
Back, baby.
I hope Greeny doesn't have that trademarked. You can find him at Zaslow Show. You can find me, Amber Wilson, at Amber W Sports. Amber and Ian is presented by Progressive Insurance. Looking for a career path with flexibility and great pay with benefits? Go to progressive.com/careers and apply online today. So Aaron Rodgers wasn't in the news for maybe
two hours. Yeah,
probably.
Yeah, I mean,
only because probably some other stuff happened in the world. And then he arrived at training camp this morning for the New York Jets. And Zaslow, he showed up in a Egyptian cat T-shirt.
Yeah.
Because nobody loves us talking about the thing that he says is a media creation more than Aaron Rodgers.
Now pay attention.
Amber and Ian, Aaron Rodgers Watch.
He told all of us last year, need less distractions, less talk about what's going on outside of the facility, but now he is the ringleader. He is the ringleader of what's going to wind up being a three-ring circus as long as he stays healthy. You have no idea if he's going to stay healthy. I mean, four plays last year, we called it a season. But if he stays healthy, he is the ringleader of the circus that is going to be the 2024 New York Jets.
He goes on Pardon My Take, and he discusses how this was a media invention. First of all, he said it was all much ado about nothing because apparently mandatory minicamp is just a label on OTAs, and it's all subjective, and it doesn't really mean anything from one day to the next. So just because it was slapped with mandatory doesn't actually mean that it's mandatory. So for him, it was a non-story. And so he went on to say that it was us on this side of the microphones that was creating the story. Even though, yes, very obviously, Robert Saleh was not originally on the same page as you and gave a press conference that none of the rest of us would be doing our jobs if we ignored. And then also, you are quite literally going on media outlets like Pardon My Take and
talking
about how
it's
the
media. He's never met a camera and a microphone he doesn't like. Never
met it. It's amazing to me. It's the media as you are doing media talking about how the media is inventing a story that you, again, are discussing while on the media. And then you show up today in front of the media because bunch of photographers there at Jets training camp and reporters and television cameras, and you show up with the Egyptian shirt as a little jab at everybody who was discussing his trip to Egypt.
Amber, here's what I imagine. I imagine he gets he's at the facility. They get done with whatever workout they're doing for the day. Then he pokes his head outside the doors of the facility, and he just yells out, anyone need a podcast guest? Anyone need a guest for their podcast? And he goes on that podcast if someone is in need. That's
you should have him
does.
On the Zaslow Show 2.0, available wherever podcasts are available.
Thank you. Yeah, he'd be allowed on my show. He is willing to go on any show, any venue that has a camera, preferably a camera and a microphone, but at least a microphone, and he will show up. The guy who said, less distractions, more football.
I got to be honest, from what was being reported, I'm pretty sure McAfee's overpaying Rodgers for his appearances, because I tend to agree with you. This man needs
microphones. Yeah, you need to get an exclusive deal there? Let's get some exclusivity here with the Jets quarterback.
I'm not sure you need to pay him anything, frankly, because Aaron Rodgers has never met a microphone he doesn't like. So he shows up with the little jab at everybody, with the Egypt shirt, great. Okay, all right, the attention's on him. But he's trying to take the attention away from whom? Because otherwise, today, the attention would be squarely on Hassan Reddick. Hassan Reddick did not show up to training camp. That's the bigger story. Hassan Reddick is officially a holdout. Apparently, the marquee DB that the Jets just traded for, remember when it was a big deal a few months ago that they were able to get Hassan Reddick and he was going to make them so much better? Did they not look into his contract situation at the time and realize that he was on an expiring deal and that he was going to want an extension? Because that's how things work.
Yeah, I can't. Look, it's really easy to get on the Jets for this scenario, all right? Because like you said, they had to have known before they made the trade. They were trading for a player who's on the last year of a deal. You definitely talk to the agent before you make this deal. And I'm sure that it was conveyed to the Jets that, hey, he needs a new contract. That's where we're at right now. You could trade for him. He'll play for you. But he needs a new contract. So I'm sure the Jets understand that. But I'm not exactly willing to get too crazy on the Jets about this deal. They gave up, I mean, what was it, for, it's a conditional, a 2026 conditional third-round pick.
Yeah, but Zaza, why was Hassan Reddick available for a conditional 2026 third-rounder?
Yeah, money.
Because the Eagles didn't want to pay that man.
Right.
And why? Not because he's not a great player. They didn't want to pay him because, oh, by the way, he's due to be paid. So that's what I don't
right.
understand. Like, you don't trade for him, even if you're not giving up much at all. You still don't trade for him if you're not going to pay him. It's why the Eagles can't ask for much in return, because whoever's going to acquire him is going to have to pay him.
Well, I think the Jets had to have known that. Like I said, it's really easy to bust on the Jets. The Jets had to have known that. And I think their line of thinking was probably, all right, it's worth it to us to give up a third-round pick that's 2 years away for the opportunity to be the team that gets to negotiate a new contract with Hassan Reddick. We think we'll be able to get it done, but they're not in some type of massive rush right now to give him everything he's asking for because the price wasn't too big. I believe they'll wind up getting it done. Yes, it looks bad, Amber. It does. Because you had to have known he was going to hold out. But to me, I think it's a little bit much to do about nothing at the very start of training camp.
All right, first of all, what has gotten into you?
I'm trying to be fair and balanced.
To pile on the Jets? I mean, you're doing this wrong as
Miami
Dolphins fan.
If you want to get back to Aaron Rodgers, there's a whole lot more to pile on, all right? There's a whole lot more there. But I'd be surprised if this situation with Hassan Reddick is not taken care of before the start of the season. I really would.
Here's the reason that it is raising the red flags to me also, is because there are reports out there that the Jets were surprised when he skipped the entire offseason, when he didn't show up to mandatory minicamp.
Well, that is
minicamp,
weird.
That was just a label, according
that
to Aaron Rodgers.
Weird.
He didn't show. Right, so he didn't show up to any of that
known.
Stuff, the voluntary or the mandatory stuff in June.
What is
he
mandatory,
forfeited.
Actually? What is actually mandatory? Come on, that's a label.
Now
what
you
is
sound
mandatory?
Like Aaron Rodgers.
What is that?
What is it? What is time? What is any of this? It's all a simulation. What is the construct of anything that we're living or experiencing? It's all labels, Zaslow.
I wish I got to make that case to my parents when I would skip school in high school, and obviously it comes back unexcused, and the parents found out. This mandatory attendance, it's a label. What does it actually mean? You're
right.
Making a little... I know my teacher said it's unexcused, but you're making too... You're making too much out of this, all right? It's not. It's just a label. What
Nothing
is school?
Nothing in life is really mandatory other
what
than
is school?
Breathing and eating, right? Nothing's mandatory. It's all a social construct. So what is mandatory minicamp? But yes, Hassan Reddick skipped that too. He also skipped the voluntary stuff. By skipping the mandatory stuff, he forfeited a $250,000 workout bonus that he had in his contract and incurred a $50,000 fine for skipping minicamp. So he's already,
we're up to 300
already
now.
Before training camp, you're at $300,000 yep. that Hassan Reddick has already voluntarily given up in his life because clearly he wants a new contract. Now we get to training camp. He's being fined another $50,000 per day, which is a mandatory fine under the CBA. $50,000 per day. And the Jets are surprised, Zaslow. And that's what's the red flag to me, because they should have known. They should have known back in June. They should not at all be surprised.
No, I don't think the price that they paid to get him was exorbitant. And that's why I think they're not in this massive rush just to hand over everything that he wants. But if you're telling me that that's accurate, Amber, that they're surprised with the way this situation has played out, it feels like they didn't have a conversation then with the agent, that they just had a conversation with the Eagles, and it was, oh, you don't want to pay him? Okay, what would it take for us to pry him off your hands?
He has 27 sacks over the last two seasons.
He's a good
when
player.
He when he signed the deal with the Eagles a few years ago, it did make him one of the very highest paid edge rushers at the time. Right now, at $15 million per, he's ranked 20th among edge rushers. And so that's why they want more money, because of where the market's gone for that position. Obviously, he's a great player. We all know it. I think we all just assumed the Jets were going to cough up that money. If all of us knew it, on the outside looking in, then what's taken that front office so long to work out something with Hassan Reddick? They could not have been blindsided by this. And honestly, Zaz, it just kind of lends itself to the Jets, again, being a bit of a mess. It just feels like everything with that organization is a mess, which I don't know why you're defending that organization.
I'm not defending it. I'm just trying to give a smidge of benefit of the doubt here. But it really sounds like what you're telling me, that there's no reason to give them the benefit of the doubt. It sounds like they traded for Hassan Reddick for a third-round pick. They're high-fiving, they're shaking hands. Wow, it was a great deal. And then just at one point, they're sitting around the table in the conference room. It's like, hey, I just got off the phone with Hassan Reddick's agent, and did you know they're looking for a new deal?
Did you know that he needs money moving
forward? Feels like that's what happened based on what you're telling me now.
It's almost what it seems like. Let's hope that they knew more than that.
Coming up next here. Were you aware that he wants money?
Coming up next here on Amber and Ian, we're going to talk about our guy, me and Zaslow's guy, Zaslow filling in for Ian tonight. We're going to talk about Tua Tagovailoa and how Jordan Love's contract may have something to do with Tua and or Dak. We'll get into that next year on ESPN Radio.
Ah, fall Saturdays. The air is crisp. The game is on. Your friends are here, and you're outside on grill duty. The Home Depot knows missing the game is not an option. Thankfully, the Traeger Timberline XL Grill is here to help you play defense and make the most of every Saturday. First up, we've got fans to feed, and the Timberline XL is a real crowd pleaser. It can bake, smoke, sear, fry, and saute, so you can feed everyone at the watch party. Whether you want sweet, tangy ribs, jalapeno poppers with a smoky kick, grilled street corn, or some classic buffalo wings, this utility player can do it all. And with Wi-Fire tech and the Traeger app, you can monitor your smoker temp, meat probes, and pellet levels all from the comfort of your couch. So you can watch the game, not the grill, and never miss a moment. Defend your game time with Traeger and the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3 month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes in detail.
Packers quarterback Jordan Love's in Green Bay, but has informed the team he won't practice during training camp until he has a contract extension.
If I'm his agent, I'm going in and I'm putting the Trevor Lawrence contract down and I'm saying, you're going to match this and we have a deal. And if not, we'll see you, I don't know, maybe next season.
If he plays like he did in the second half last season, you've got one of the five best quarterbacks in the NFL.
Jordan Love is about to become an incredibly rich man.
Well, we learned yesterday that Jordan Love is a hold-in in Green Bay. He's there, but he ain't practicing. He wants his money, honey, and frankly, he's gonna get it. Amber and Ian is presented to you by Progressive Insurance. Jonathan Zaslow is filling in for Ian tonight. So we learned that about Love. I think we all feel like that contract is imminent, Zaz, and they're gonna get a deal worked out. It has to be. They're gonna get a deal worked out with Jordan Love. Well, out of that same draft, but on a different deal, because Tua is under his fifth-year option, Tua Tagovailoa is also looking for a deal down in Miami. Dak Prescott, an older quarterback, not out of that same draft, is also looking for another deal down in Dallas. I know RG3 said something that got your attention today. Before we get to that, I want to start with Adam Schefter, because the ESPN NFL insider was on Unsportsmanlike this morning, and he thinks that the Jordan Love deal is not going to have any effect whatsoever on the Dak Prescott market, but that might not be the case for Tua.
Adam, just to clarify, you don't think that Jordan Love getting the deal done with the Packers will expedite or impact Dak Prescott's contract negotiations at all with the Dallas Cowboys?
No. Okay. No. No, if anything, the one quarterback it might have an impact on would be Tua Tagovailoa, who also is waiting for a new deal. But I think that's a more complicated, nuanced, layered deal because of Tua's injury history. Do you want to just go write a guaranteed money to Tua for $150, $175 million?
So that infuriates me because,
really?
Again, it infuriates me as a Dolphins fan and also as a national radio host, frankly, because I am so tired of hearing every time we say Tua's name about the injury history. Here's the reality of the situation, Zaslow, and I'm not suggesting that Tua hasn't earned that reputation at times throughout his NFL and collegiate career, but here's the reality of the situation. How many games did we see Tua Tagovailoa play last season?
He did not miss a single snap last year due to injury.
He played all of them. He played 18 games, right? He played all of them. And he was available the entire season long. How many games did we see Jordan Love play in totality in his NFL career?
including the playoffs, he played in 19.
So what you're telling me is that it's harder to pay the quarterback who has played... And by the way, since he was drafted in 2020 as a starter who has played every single year and played an entire season last season, rather than the guy who has only played last season. The logic ain't logically for me.
I think these are two different things, though, that you're talking about. Because if you're talking about logic, meaning... Jordan Love has a small sample size over here, and Tua has a much larger sample size, which is, by the way, what I want to get to with Robert Griffin III. That's one conversation. There's another conversation, Amber, which is the injury part of what Adam Schefter said is a more nuanced conversation when it comes to his contract. Like, I feel like you're kind of merging those two stories right
well,
there. They're two different
things. My
point
is Jordan Love was sitting on a bench. So, yes, he was not injured the first 3 years he was in the league like Tua was. He was also sitting on a bench. I have no idea how injury-prone Jordan Love may or may not be.
Let me ask you this, then, in regards to that. Would we be talking, and would people like Adam Schefter be talking about Tua and the injury history and that it's complicated? Would we be talking like that if Tua were dealing with ankle injuries, you know, like he did in college, or a hip injury like he did in college, compared to a brain injury where we were talking about maybe he was going to have to retire a little more than a year ago? Would we be treating him differently if it was injury A and B that I gave you there, or injury C, which is head injuries, which we still know so little about, and we're concerned at one point that he won't be able to play anymore?
But I think with Tua, it's all of it. Because the reality is, yes, he had trouble that season when they rolled him back out there, and he had concussion after concussion, or at least to our eyes. I know they weren't all actually deemed and diagnosed concussions, but we all know what we saw on that football field. So that was a recurring issue for a season, right? For a snippet of a season there. And then it feels like that issue was corrected. He didn't have any of those problems last season.
Oh, but I don't know that we know that there's such thing as a correction. I don't think we know enough about that stuff.
But was that how the Dolphins were handling the situation? Well, was it him learning to fall differently, which was one of the corrected measures that he tried to take? Was it him putting on weight? I don't know, because he's lost it this season, so I hope that wasn't what it was. Was him bulking up for last season? Whatever it was, it wasn't an issue at all last season for an entire season, for a 17-game regular season, and for a postseason as well, where we saw him play an A game, right? So the point is, with Jordan Love, his sample size isn't larger than Tua's. It's a heck of a lot smaller over the course of his career. I for one, think Tua has had that reputation since college. I mean, heck, you can go back to high school with Tua, and he has an injury history. So, frankly, I don't think it is just the head injuries. I also think it's the catastrophic hip injury at Bama, and that just set the tone coming into the league.
Yeah, I don't agree. He has had the injury history since college, but I think it's the head injury, because we were never talking retirement with a hip injury. We were never talking retirement with an ankle injury. I mean, heck, you look at Aaron Rodgers and Kirk Cousins and the injuries they're overcoming. No one thinks they're not going to be able to return and play, you know, at whatever you consider to be a high level. But with the head injuries, We've seen quarterbacks, Troy Aikman, Steve Young, like, we've seen these quarterbacks' careers end early because of head injuries. And, of course, we all have that lasting image, which none of us are ever going to forget with Tua, where it looked like he was dead on the field.
Well, that's true. But at the same time, again, we have gone past that point, I feel like. So now when you're negotiating his contract, are you still negotiating it about something that you saw the season before last and something that feels like it's been corrected? Because I do tend to agree with you. Those other injuries throughout Tua's career were small injuries overall. I mean, they weren't like he hasn't had all these catastrophic injuries. Joe Burrow has been far more injured in his NFL career
Absolutely.
Than Tua has out of the same draft. And somehow none of it sticks to Joe Burrow as an issue or a problem.
Right. But again, that's because none of those injuries were then followed up with a conversation about possible retirement. And I understand what you're saying about Tua, that he bulked up and he learned how to land and he was doing the Taekwondo. And that's all great. Like, that will lessen the chance of him hitting his head on the ground. But all it takes is for him to hit his head on the ground one time. And apparently with concussions, you're more susceptible to getting a second and a third and a fourth once you have the very first one. Like, I understand what you're saying, that it was corrected, but I don't think that's the term that the team would use. I don't think they would call it
I just think it's strange that out of the same draft when they've been in the league the same amount of time, the guy who is advantaged is the guy who has played in total, 27 games. That's not starting. That's total in the NFL. That guy has a significant advantage over the guy who has played in 53 in his NFL career. Like, that seems absurd to me. Out of the same draft, same amount of time in the league. We got plenty more coming up on ESPN Radio.
Finding the right employee for your company is tough. One wrong hire can be a major setback. You're not alone if you face this. A recent survey by Robert Half shows nearly half of hiring managers readily admit to making a bad hire. Luckily, there's a solution. With Robert Half's specialized recruiter's experience combined with our award-winning AI, you can have the right skilled professional in place quickly. We understand what it takes to build winning teams because at Robert Half, we know talent. Discover how we can help at roberthalf.com/talent.
This is a PSA, or public sock announcement. Experts have declared Bombas socks as the best way to warm up chilly feet. These pairs are super cushy, soft, and designed for maximum coziness. Plus, for every pair purchased, another pair will be donated, so someone in need of essential clothing can stay warm this winter. Go to bombas.com/ESPNpod and use code ESPNpod for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ESPNpod and use code ESPNpod.
Packers quarterback Jordan Love's in Green Bay, but has informed the team he won't practice during training camp until he has a contract extension.
If I'm his agent, I'm going in and I'm putting the Trevor Lawrence contract down and I'm saying, you're going to match this and we have a deal. And if not, we'll see you, I don't know, maybe next season.
If he plays like he did in the second half last season, you've got one of the five best quarterbacks in the NFL.
Jordan Love is about to become an incredibly rich man.
Jordan Love is a hold-in at Green Bay Packers camp. But like you just heard Greeny say, he is going to end up becoming an incredibly rich man because Green Bay ain't got no choice. They're going to end up having to pay that quarterback who proved himself on a one-year sample size. But that has led to a conversation about how that deal might impact Tua Tagovailoa's deal, who's also waiting for a deal out of that same draft class of 2020. And Zaslow is filling in tonight for Ian Fitzsimmons here, and Amber and Ian. I don't know what has happened to Zaz. I mean, me and Zaz are obviously diehard Dolphins fans. I feel like it's like a heel that I'm working with tonight.
Oh, okay? is this my heel turn?
It's your heel turn tonight. First segment, you're defending the New York Jets. That's sacrilege around here. And then second segment of tonight's show, you are essentially saying that you think Jordan Love is worth a whole lot more than Tua, Jonathan.
Okay, that's not true. You are mischaracterizing, you are misrepresenting what I said. I said, or at least what I meant was, I understand the trepidation that the Dolphins may have in paying Tua, no matter what the Packers are about to pay Jordan Love, because we're talking about a player who has gone through a unique circumstance when it comes to injuries in Tua Tagovailoa. So I get it. But I do want to read you this tweet here that I saw from Robert Griffin III, all right, former quarterback, ESPN analyst, and he tweeted out here with a nice picture of Tua Tagovailoa attached to it. Anyone who says Jordan Love should be the highest paid quarterback in the NFL after 1 year of production, but has a different feeling about Tua Tagovailoa after 2 years of production, is being dishonest and has ulterior motives. Two of the last two seasons has been, capital letters, top five in every major QB stat. And that's the end of the tweet. Okay. Now, let me start by saying I'm a Tua guy. I am a big fan of Tua. Yeah, no, you don't get to do that. I'm a big fan of Tua. I've been a big fan of Tua from day number one, all right? And I do believe the Dolphins are going to wind up paying Tua. If for nothing else, because, see, I don't think this, it's not like the Cowboys situation. It's certainly not like the Packers because Jordan Love is holding in. The Dolphins, and clearly this player as well, Tua Tagovailoa, they don't negotiate in public. It's why we saw the Jalen Waddle deal just popped up out of nowhere, all right? And it happened. The Dolphins don't go about this kind of business in public. And clearly Tua doesn't do that either.
In fairness, if I'm being objective for a moment, that's the key. Because you and I can go all full Dolphins culture, right?
That's not a real thing, Amber.
But the reality is, but it's the same thing, by the way, that we attribute to the Heat. The Heat don't negotiate in public and all that. That only works, especially in the NFL, when you're talking about the quarterback position, if the player is on board with that. The only difference between Tua and Jordan Love right now is that Tua isn't a hold-in. I mean, he very well could, and that would destroy their entire plan about not negotiating in public, right?
Yes, but here's my main point with the logic that Robert Griffin III is using here. Again, he tweeted out, anyone who says Jordan Love should be the highest paid quarterback after 1 year of production but has a different feeling about Tua after 2 years is being dishonest and has ulterior motives. I don't agree with that logic whatsoever because, for one, and we heard on the soundbite coming in where once you saw the Trevor Lawrence deal, oh, well, Jordan Love, his people are going to look at that and say, you need to pay me that. For one, I'll never understand, and it's such an NFL thing, I'll never understand why if one team decides to hand out an irresponsible contract, and I'm not saying that's what the Jaguars did with Trevor Lawrence. I would say that that's what the Cleveland Browns did with Deshaun Watson. But if one team decides to hand out what is believed to be an irresponsible contract, why does the next team that has their star quarterback come up have to also give out said irresponsible contract? Like, I don't understand why we have to hold up this team dead. Okay, well, they're a bad franchise. They're a bad business. We're not a bad business, so we're not going to offer that. So that's one part that I'll never understand about the way this works. But in regards to Jordan Love 1 year, Tua Tagovailoa 2 years, we're not paying for past production. We're not paying for past production. Like, if the Packers believe moving forward that Jordan Love, and this is their beliefs, not mine, but if they believe that Jordan Love is going to be, you know, this great of a quarterback, my hand's all the way up here, Amber, way above my head. If they believe he's going to be this great of a quarterback, and the Dolphins believe Tua is going to be this great, but it's below what the Packers believe, then guess what? The Packers are going to pay Jordan Love more than the Dolphins are going to pay Tua. Like, that's great that Jordan Love or that Tua has had twice as much production than Jordan Love has had, but that has nothing to do with the future. And if the Packers believe that this guy is going to have better production in the future, then it doesn't matter how much or how little he's played compared to Tua Tagovailoa. So I don't agree with that logic.
Well, a couple counterpoints here. So the only way that you can project future production tends to be by relying on past production, right? The reality is that the reason Jordan Love is going to get this contract is because they're evaluating him based on a second half of a season is really right. What it boils down to.
Just 8 games.
But based on a singular season, when Jordan Love's case, it comes down to a really good second half. And that's where mm-hmm. he was pretty brilliant. And it's going to be based on that. So you are projecting future production based on past production. That's number one. And Tua's got a whole lot more past production than Jordan Love. Even when you take in his 2023 stats into account here, I mean, you're talking better stats than Jordan Love had in 2023.
Because,
Jordan Love had more touchdowns And I mean, far a lot fewer more turnovers. 14 versus 11.
Oh, really? Threw 11 interceptions? Oh, you know what? You know what, Amber? Excuse me. I'm thinking how many interceptions he had those final eight
those
games
final
where he was
eight
so amazing.
Because that's what everyone does with Jordan Love. So when you look at the stats for all of 2023, what completion percentage Tua's is higher, right? Yardage Tua's is higher. Touchdowns, Jordan Love gets the nod in that category. Interceptions, you know, it not a huge difference there. Tua threw a few more. The reality is that the stats are quite comparable. Both of them were very good in 2023. But what people do is they just focus in on that second half of the season for Jordan Love. So again, we're quite literally about to pay a quarterback in Green Bay. And I'm not necessarily saying it's the wrong thing to do, but they're going to pay a quarterback in Green Bay 50 per plus based on essentially eight games. When again, we could evaluate Tua's entire NFL career, all 53 games. And not all of it's flawless, but you have a hell of a lot more of it to rely on than you do with Jordan Love. And a couple of those years were excellent statistically. Mm-hmm. I don't know what Robert Griffin III is talking about with ulterior motives. I don't know what your ulterior motive would be, but it does seem to be a strange...
What would the ulterior motives actually be there?
I don't really know what that is. I don't know what he's implying.
Maybe you don't like quarterbacks who went to Alabama? Could that be it?
You don't like Hawaiians? Like, I don't know what we're doing there.
You don't like Samoans?
Samoans your thing? I don't know what we're doing there. But the reality is that there does seem to be a different narrative around Tua for whatever reason.
Oh, well, that's
reason.
Been the case since he got to the league.
Since he got to the league. Yes. It's like no of one course. Wants to admit how good. Like, his numbers from last season, and Jordan Love's, by the way, blow Trevor Lawrence's numbers out of the water. And so that is why, if you are Jordan Love in that situation, you're his representation, you do walk into the front office in Green Bay, and that is where you start. Zaz, I know you said that the Jordan Love deal or that the Trevor Lawrence deal doesn't have anything to do with it. If you actually think it's a bad deal.
I don't think it should have anything to do with it. Like, if the Jaguars are stupid, why do we have to be stupid, you know?
But that's not how you frame it. You don't frame it that they're stupid. You walk in and say, this was a good deal for Trevor Lawrence because of where the market is. And sure, he's their franchise quarterback. I'm better.
I'd be a great general manager. I would counter with, yeah, well, they're stupid and we're not stupid.
I mean, that might be effective because that probably is quite literally the counter argument.
Shut them up real good, real quick.
But the point is that with both of these guys, they're going to end up getting deals. I do feel like, though, there is this narrative around Jordan Love that paying Jordan Love, not complicated. Paying Tua, complicated. Right. And I think it's strange when, again, we're essentially boiling Jordan Love down to eight games. Dan Orlovsky, ESPN's NFL analyst, he did that very thing today on the Pat McAfee show. Take a listen.
It wasn't like his first six or seven games were bad.
No.
It wasn't like this was a 180 degree. It was like there were moments and you were waiting for consistency. And then the last 10 weeks, that's when it took off. I would have zero trepidation, in part because of the plan and the timeline. Two, because the person that he is, and you see like the character and you hear the stories of the leadership and character that he's developed. And three, because the roster's so young and deep and talented. This isn't a situation where you sit there and go, well, if we pay Jordan Love, then we're gonna lose, man, two or three guys in a year or two that are really, really like important players because they've drafted and developed so well. So this is an easy decision, pay Jordan Love. And I think that realistically, you have a very legit Super Bowl window for like 36 months, very legit.
And that's fine, all that logic. But the reality is, if it's a very easy decision to pay Jordan Love, then it's a very easy decision to pay Tua Tagovailoa off the exact same logic.
Amber, I'll be honest with you. I mean, all due respect, Dan Orlovsky knows so much more than me. That is not the way I remember the first six, seven games of the season going for Jordan Love. Like, the Packers were 3-6, all right, the first half. They were 3-6. And the conversation I remember that was surrounding Jordan Love was, this guy ain't it. This is not the guy. He's not that good. And then the final eight games of the regular season were so extraordinary. We did a complete about face, like a total 180. I could be mistaken, but I do not remember the conversation going that way. Middle of the season, the talk was, whether or not Jordan Love was a starting, was the guy that the Packers thought he was going to be.
See, I don't remember it as bad as you do. I do remember it, though, with people saying, okay, well, we have to be a little bit patient with it because it's not looking out of the gate like you want it to look. And then all of a sudden it started looking like it.
I mean, he had 13 touchdowns, 10 interceptions in those first nine games. He was not blowing the roof off the building.
He threw 11 touchdowns for the season.
11 interceptions.
I mean, interceptions. Sorry, yeah. He threw 11 interceptions for this. 10 of them were
in
those
first nine
games. Right.
Yes.
And that,
yes,
that was the difference between the first half and the second, and essentially the second half of the season there, including the playoffs, for Jordan Love. And that's the stark differentiation.
Also,
that
Amber, can I give you a couple more? Can I give you a couple more? In those first nine
what
games.
What would you do if I said no?
I mean, I have to hand it to you. Your name's on the show. My name's nowhere to be found. In the first nine games of the season, where there were 3-6, six of those games, his completion percentage was under 60%, which is horrible. Horrible. All right. So six out of nine games, under 60% completions, 13 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. They were 3-6. Amber, we were having a far different conversation about Jordan Love the first half of last season. We were.
I think I would feel it's a more reasonable argument if you made the argument that it's not an easy decision to pay Jordan Love that kind of monster money that the market is going to require, and then also applying the same logic that you don't think it's an easy decision to pay Tua up to that level either, because Tua also has had a bit of a unique NFL career. I feel like that's okay and applicable. I just feel like the conversation has to be the same. If it's an easy decision for Love, then it's easy for Tua. If it's a difficult decision for Love, then it's difficult for Tua. And I guess I can see the relation between those two players based on their situations and where we're at with our
contract. Can I tell you something else, Amber? Can I tell you something else?
Yeah, I mean, you can. Our PD is going to blow a gasket with the clock in a moment.
That was your opportunity to say no. You should have said no.
Coming up next here on Amber and Ian with Zesla filling in for Ian tonight, we will tell Rams fans why their team will not win a Super Bowl. That's next.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like UNTUCKit or Allbirds, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business making selling, and for shoppers, buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling. On the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout UNTUCKit uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/network.
Want to shop Walmart Black Friday deals first? Walmart Plus members get early access to our hottest deals. Join now and get 50% off a one-year annual membership. Shop Black Friday deals first with Walmart Plus. See terms at walmartplus.com.
There is a theme today for Tunes Tuesday. Our associate producer, Rachel Robinson, on the ones and twos back there in Bristol, Connecticut, in the control room. She's the mastermind of the theme on Tunes Tuesday. She's got a theme today, Jonathan Zaslow. Zaslow filling in for Ian. So you've got to pay attention all show long so you can guess her theme.
Rachel Robinson, who I will add real quick, has become, since I've started doing the show with you every now and then over the last however many months, has become a full-blown pro wrestling fan.
Oh, it's really disappointing.
I'm so proud.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, it's great.
It's awful.
Beautiful.
Is what it is.
Full-blown it's really bad. Pro wrestling fan.
No, it's really bad. I thought you sent me a picture of a wrestler today, and it ended up being a quarterback in the NFL in our group chat. We will certainly be getting into Joe Burrow's new look onto tonight's show as
very
well.
Familiar.
That's a great tease, Amber. I just want to tell you, that's an awesome tease, Ed.
Amber and Ian is presented to you by Progressive Insurance. But right now, what we do on this show is we like to tell you why the good teams in the NFL aren't gonna win a Super Bowl. We like to crush your hopes and dreams. Let's do it to Los Angeles.
why your team won't win the Super Bowl.
Oh, no! We suck again!
With Amber and Ian.
There's a chance we won't win?
The Los Angeles Rams.
This might be the last day that we do this, as because it gets a lot less fun as you go into the teams that everybody knows aren't going to be competing for.
Oh, you're going to have a hard time making the case why the Kansas City Chiefs won't win the Super Bowl? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I'm saying the like opposite. It's not as funny of a bit when you're doing why the Carolina Panthers won't win the
Super Bowl. Oh, the other way around. I see what you're saying.
It loses its luster. So what we do at some point
why the Carolina Panthers will not win the Super Bowl. How about everything we know about them?
Everything. For every reason, that's why. So what we will do
at some point
is a little switcheroo. Oh, I forgot, Rachel. Panthers fan. Her president, Panthers fan. A little switcheroo at some point, and we're going to try to tell you why. Maybe we're going to end up telling you why the Carolina Panthers will, in fact, win the Super Bowl. That'll be a big day for Rachel Robinson. But first, the Rams, they're one of those good teams in the NFL. They were surprisingly good last season, Zaslo, when we all had counted them out and said that window had closed. So now give us the reasons why it has, in fact, closed here for 2024.
Yeah, you said it, Amber. So here's why the Rams are not going to win the Super Bowl this year. It felt like last year was a little bit of a fluke, all right? In 2021, they make the trade for Stafford. They win the Super Bowl. There you go. And then you had a lot of hemming and hawing from Aaron Donald, from Sean McVay. Are we going to retire? Everybody decides to come back. And they totally flopped. Matthew Stafford, he missed a bunch of games. They were not a good football team. And then they surprised everyone last year. They bounced back. They made the playoffs. And Matthew Stafford, just under 4,000 yards, had a very solid season. Look, Stafford's 36 years old right now. I think it's quite possible that this year, for Stafford, can look a little bit closer to 2022 than 2023. I don't think it's a coincidence that his body and his age started to show some wear and tear a couple years ago. You ever heard the phrase, Amber, he's not getting any younger? He's not getting any younger.
Doesn't apply to me.
Plus, I've heard that about you on the streets. People whisper around like, you know, this Amber Wilson, that phrase, she's not getting any younger. Doesn't apply to her. I heard someone say that the other day, actually. And I also look at the early part of this Rams schedule, Amber. It's tough. I mean, look, but they have an early bye, week six. Mm-hmm. First five games. At Detroit, at Arizona, San Francisco, at Chicago, Green Bay. Very tough start. If you're not careful, you're 1-4 out the gates there, all right? Maybe 2-3. So the Rams, they're not winning the Super Bowl this year, Amber.
The Rams aren't winning the Super Bowl this year. I tend to agree with you. Also, because it's the name of the segment, and that's what we have to do. But also, a 36-year-old quarterback who just retooled his deal, by the way, we got the word today. So no problems there with Matthew Stafford. He is, in fact, at training camp. But they didn't add on any years to his deal. It's through 2026. Why did they not do that, Zaslo?
They know.
Because he's 36 years old. Because they know. Because he was coming off of the elbow injuries as we headed into last season, don't forget. And that's why we thought, heading into last season, that the window was closed. One of the things that they were able to hit on was Puka Nacua there, right? But at the same time, Cooper Kupp clearly on the decline. He could not stay on the field, clearly on the decline as well. At the tight end position, you have a problem because you have Tyler Higbee starting out on the PUP list there as well. They're not the same team that is the team that we saw win a Super Bowl. And yes, I think we all were a bit taken aback and surprised by last season and Matthew Stafford throws for over 4,000 yards last season and all of that. No one's going to be surprised by the Rams this season. And I just don't think it's going to look the same. The other reason is because the San Francisco 49ers are in that division. And they're better. They're better than the Rams. Yeah. Any way you cut it.
It's not a Super Bowl team.
It's not a Super Bowl winning team. I think that that's fair to say. It's a Super Bowl winning quarterback. One of the only in the National Football League, by the way. But it's not a Super Bowl winning team anymore at this point. You also have pieces. They just spent $50 million guaranteed on their O-line again to try to shore up the interior of that line. You've got pieces moving all over the place on that O-line. That never bodes well for a 36-year-old quarterback, even if they end up gelling in the season. So the Rams are trying, and they've made some good moves here, but they're not going to be able to continue to get it done. Coming up next here on Amber and Ian, we're going to head to Big Ten Media Days. That's next right here on ESPN Radio.